from Ukraine, from Kharkiv, Ukraine. Michael, you're on the air. Hello, Michael, are you there, my friend?
You talking to me, Tom?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm here. Great. It's nice to talk to you again. You know, the thing I'm worried about is that, confronted with Trump's abject ignorance about everything, about history, economy, world affairs, that Xi is going to just realize what a fool he is and then move to test him in the South China Sea or something and in some real provocative action. Now, you know, with that, Obama was pretty weak too, but the UN ruled against China and they seem to be about to accept that decision. And then Duterte, as I call him, you know, rolled over.
Duterte, the leader of the Philippines.
I love the Chinese. Has pretty much made some kind of deal with them where he doesn't really care that they're 40 or 50 miles offshore Philippine waters. And he's armored these islands with anti-aircraft, I believe, with some of the best missiles. And the next step really is just to declare an air defense zone where he says, that no overflight should happen and all these commercial airlines will have to avoid it. Or even Putin doing the same thing. You know, you see the poison gas in Syria, and for once America's standing up for human rights and objecting and screaming about this, and yet then Trump says, oh, but, you know, it's the fault of Obama. It's like, well, you're president now. It's like, it's your job. It's not Obama's job, you know? It's like,
well, Michael, we've got it. The idea of a potential test coming here, if Xi Jinping sees an opportunity there. We're looking at the meeting of the Chinese leader and the president in Mar-a-Lago tomorrow. A couple of worried calls there, Scott, yes. about where Donald Trump might draw lines here and how he might be sized up by Xi Jinping. What do you say?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So let's just have a little historical context, I think, would be helpful to address some of the concerns and frustrations, which are totally understandable. I think it's important to understand that the historic American foreign policy towards China, our approach was to try and integrate China into a rules-based order, deter them on Taiwan and some other places, but for the most part, try and integrate them. And I think that worked largely for the first 30 years. You had Chinese leaders that were interested in integrating and adapting. I think Xi Jinping is a very different kind of leader, and China is also much stronger. He isn't interested in having China integrate into the world. He wants to make the world safe for China in its current form. And so it's been difficult for the U.S. to find its bearings to figure out how to adjust its policy. We need a Goldilocks policy. Obviously, it can't just be simply talking everything through and encouragement or hitting China back with sticks. You have to find that Goldilocks middle ground. Trump brought the idea of change into the campaign, said he's going to do things very differently. And I think for some people who've worked on China and see the challenges we have with them, being a little bit tougher on China, turning up the dial is something welcome. The question is, is he the right agent to do it? He comes in with very little experience. He has very little staff yet. And, you know, this meeting, which is occurring, you know, tomorrow, is occurring amazingly early in his administration. Very few presidents have ever met a Chinese leader this early. So our expectations need to go beyond what's going to happen tomorrow to look at, will it be possible for the Trump administration to get a full team in place, put out some markers, and then gradually work on these? None of this is going to be solved in a few months, let alone a few hours in Mar-a-Lago.
Susan, what the tougher on China posture that was the president's even before he was elected on the campaign trail, how do you see its effect so far?
Well, the way he's done it has been very counterproductive because especially the first bomb he threw about our one China policy, which suggested that we might use our robust informal relationship with Taiwan as a bargaining chip to get a better deal from China in other issue areas. In the end, Xi Jinping refused to talk to him until he would back down from that and reaffirm our one China policy. And so he was forced to back down. So this set a very bad precedent because it looked like he was all bluster, but in the end, he would fold. And of course, domestically, we also see on some issues where there's been a lot of bluster, but the president wasn't able to deliver and had to back down. So, you know, Xi Jinping is, I think, feels less intimidated by Donald Trump than he might have a few months ago. On the other hand, I just want to agree with what Scott said about the need to push back more. You know, China hands really have been saying that our approach that we have pursued of talk and engagement has not been as effective as it once had been, and that we do need to push back more, but it's going to take real statesmanship to do that effectively, and that's the big question for this meeting.
That's the balance beam that both leaders will be on tomorrow. Susan Shirk at the UC San Diego School of Global Policy and Strategy, thanks very much for being with us today, Susan.
My pleasure.
And Scott Kennedy at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, thanks for joining us, Scott.
Happy to do so.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On